Greetings and welcome to the sixth edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict. Wow, so this is six, I think it's six or so in a week or two, which is something. That's definitely great. I didn't expect to have been pumping out this many in such short frequency. So that's good, yeah, and I think it's great to see all the feedback from the community as well. So thanks to that, thanks for the people who have taken their time to provide me with some feedback. It's been good, you know, some good positive, constructive criticism as well, which is fantastic. So, yeah, thanks for that. So, we're now live on iTunes as we speak. I think it came up this morning. I've been working behind the scenes to try and get that happening, and it proved to be a bit of a difficult task at times, but it looks like it's all set up and going, so that's really good. So, I've had a few requests to get the iTunes thing up for a little bit now, so it's up there and it's happening, so that's really good. I think that's terrific news for everyone, including myself. It seems that a lot of people had quite difficulties accessing the SoundCloud files and the Podomatic files, so that's fine. So iTunes is up, so that's good. Okay, so it looks like I've been roped into recording an article on keeper rotation. This stuff's pretty interesting. Rotation's pretty interesting, and there's a ton of literature on the subject. There are heaps of articles on the internet floating around looking at really good rotations. So I think for the purpose of this article, I'll be using a season ticker and working out the rotations by myself. I'm not doing it live. I've already done it, and I've jotted down a few things that I think are pretty good rotations. And I think just before I was going to broadcast this pod or record this pod, I was going to rank the cheap defenses in order. I haven't done that. I might do that live just for a giggle. Cool. So that will be at the end of the pod after I've been through the rotations and distinguish which ones that I like and which ones that I don't like as much. I mean, and you never know, I might end up going with one of these myself. I could even convince myself. I think I've done that a few times already in the previous pods. So, I mean, as you could probably infer, I don't have a rotation, but at the same time, I don't have a big hitter and a non-playing keeper either. At the moment, I have something different, and I'll probably reveal it later as my personal keeper setup at the moment. Cool. So as I was saying before, I mean, working out rotations, it is heaps of fun. It's probably one of the most interesting times of the FPL calendar, pre-season that is. And looking at the fixtures and working out which game to play your keeper and defenders in. So that's basically the theory. So in the aid of affordability and to finance your big hitter picks in midfield, I will focus on the 4.5 million goalkeepers. I mean, so all up, you'll be paying 9 million for your keepers, which is pretty reasonable. At this stage, there are no keepers priced in the 4.0 million price range. I don't think last season there wasn't either. But last season, there were three or four defenders priced at that 4.0 million price range. But this year, there isn't yet. There are some rumblings of Steele and Taylor possibly getting a jersey at Newcastle, a starting jersey at Newcastle. Matty Burke at West Ham, bit of rumbling. He definitely won't start initially, but especially with Ogbonna coming in. So I think it'll be Ogbonna and Stephen Reid as the two there with James Collins and James Tompkins there as well. So he's like fifth choice defender, so there's no chance. If Newcastle fail to sign any centre backs, then I think there's a decent chance of Steele and Taylor starting. I mean, Mike Williamson's just gaff, so yeah. I think it's a good chance. But just keep an eye out in preseason. I'm not sure if he's played. Newcastle played two or three games in preseason. I'm not sure if he's actually started any of them yet. Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think they've been playing two teams every half. Maybe they haven't. I can't remember. Doesn't matter. All right, and the other 4.0 defender that is around is Target. I think it's Matty Target. I think that's his name. I could be wrong. From Southampton. So he should start at left back because Bertrand is actually injured and he's due to come back at a rough time frame of 2 to 4 weeks, after the season starting. So yeah, if you get Target, then that's a bit of a quick fix. I have Target actually as a as an enabler, like we should call them. Yeah, but I probably won't even play him. I think he's just like a bit of an auto emergency reserve for me. All right, so let's have that's a bit of an introduction on what I'll be doing, what I'll be discussing today. So let's get into it. Let's have a look at the teams that actually have 4.5 keepers. There's a few, I believe there's 9 all up. I think there may have been more last season, I'm not sure. So we've got Aston Villa, who have Bradley Guzan at the stage. Bournemouth have all Arthur Boric or the Aussie fella, Federici. I think it'd be Boric. I think he should get the spot. Crystal Palace have Julian Speroni. Leicester have Kasper Schmeichel. Newcastle have the mighty Tim Krul. Norwich have Johnny Ruddy. I like him. Stoke have Jack Butland. And there's Watford with Geraldo Gomez. I've got a feeling the new dude might start. I can't pronounce his name, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, just follow this space. If I have an inclination, the other fellow might start. He has a really strange last name. West Brom have Boas Myhill. There's rumblings that Tony Pulis is actually bringing in Wayne Hennessy from Palace and that he will start. So watch this space also. That's a big one. That's a really big one. Wayne Hennessy is 4.0, and yeah, if he comes in and gets a spot, then that's probably the bargain of the preseason. So that's it. So that leaves us with a pool of 9 teams to choose from. Yeah, 9 teams to choose from. Awesome. Okay, so let's get into the theory a bit more behind how this rotation is ideally supposed to work. So the theory is that you pick 2 of these keepers and you play one of them when they have the superior fixture. I mean, so as you have probably heard already, there are a few combinations. It's generally favoured that the keeper playing at home should play, but this shouldn't be set in stone in your thinking either. If you ever seen, like a good example is, you know, if you have a keeper that's playing Chelsea at home and the other keeper is playing Sunderland away, then you're going to play the latter one, aren't you? I mean, you should get the points from there. I mean, you're not going to play someone at Chelsea at home, they'll probably concede. So, I mean, it just takes a bit of common sense. But generally speaking, keepers keep more clean sheets at home. But as I said, that's not always the case. I think West Brom kept more clean sheets away last season. It's just working out the tactics and the structures that managers play home and away. Like, a team at home might go gung-ho and, you know, forget about defensive solidity at the back and go for, you know, all out attack, and you just have to work it out. So yeah, these rotations, mean they depend also when you're playing your wild card. I intend on playing mine early, so for me it doesn't really matter so much having a good keeper rotation. Last season I invested quite a lot of energy into a rotation because we didn't have the first half season wild card. So that's a theory. There's probably a few things I've missed out on. I can't think of anything at the moment. Cool. So let's move on. Yeah. So let's get into the fun. Let's actually look at some of these rotations. I'll be picking rotations that have 20 good fixtures to begin with. So yeah, I think that will get you to the winter. Well, that will get you to the second wild card. I think. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Okay, so the first one is Aston Villa and Norwich. The verdict for me is no, just because it's Aston Villa. Aston Villa can't defend, and they won't be defending. Unless they repeat the start of last season and they ride the crazy saving percentage stats and PDO, but I don't think that they'll do that this season with Tim Sherwood running the ship. This rotation leaves us with 8 away fixtures, I think. So I'll just go through the first. Actually, the first 5 fixtures are really nice with this rotation. You've got Bournemouth away, Stoke at home, Sunderland at home, Bournemouth at home, West Brom at home. So that's solid. That's really good at the start. But for me, the verdict is no for that one because Villa just can't defend anyway. So Aston Villa and Norwich. And Norwich is still a promotion team. Cool, so let's move on to the next one. Norwich and Stoke. This is a good one. This is the one that people have been talking about. So this leaves us with 10 away fixtures out of the 20. That's not too bad. I like this one. Stoke, actually, what I like to call a bit of a sleeper defence. I think they're due to improve this season. Jackie Butland at 4.5 is obviously great value. I mean, especially also considering that we don't know who are the 4.5 million defenders nailed on in that team yet. I think Jeff Cameron's pretty good. I think Munyeza is back from injury and might nab a centre-back spot. I vaguely remember hearing rumblings of Shawcross being injured, maybe. I'll have to check that one. I've got a feeling Munyeza might get a spot. Or is it Eric Peters? It might be Eric Peters that's injured, I can't remember. But as I said, we don't know which of the 4.5 defenders are nailed on yet. Oh, and Glenn Johnson's there now too. I'm not sure how much he is. As a keeper rotation, I still like this one. So let's look at Norwich. I mean, the Norwich defence should be okay because they do have some experience in the Premier League. I think they have Bessong still there. They have one of the Bennett boys. I can't remember who the other fellows are, but they have some Premier League experience in there, and I think Bessong's ready to give it another hoorah as well. Like, I mean, he had a lot of promise at one stage, and he spent a couple of seasons down the Championship, and I think he's ready to come up and have a go. So Norwich and Stoke, I say yes. Yep, that's a good one. Yep, good. You should go for it. Cool. So let's transition onto the third rotation. We have Bournemouth and Norwich. The verdict is probably not, only because they're both promoted teams. It's just too risky. I think it's better to play it safe, especially because you have the early wild card as well. So let's look at the first five fixtures for that one. Aston Villa at home, Sunderland away, Stoke at home, Leicester at home, Bournemouth at home. Yeah, that's a good start. If you want to go risky, you can, but you can spend the same and get someone like Norwich. I mean, it's someone like Stoke, so that's what I do. So that's the third one, Norwich and Bournemouth, that's a no from me. Cool, let's move on to Leicester and Stoke. The verdict for this one, not too bad. The main problem is that you've actually got three away fixtures in the first few game weeks, being West Ham, Norwich and Bournemouth. Even though they're good fixtures, they're still away fixtures right straight away. So that might be a bit off-putting. And there's also four back-to-back away fixtures later on as well. I'd entertain this one. It's not too bad. I probably would have definitely said yes before Nigel Pearson got the sack. I think he really solidified his defence with his 3-5-2 formation. But now he's gone, I'm not so sure. But yeah, this isn't too bad. So I'll give this one a yes as well. So that's a yes for Leicester and Stoke. But not terrific. It's a tentative yes. Okay, let's move on to the fourth one. Aston Villa and Watford. First five fixtures are pretty good. Bournemouth away, West Brom at home, Southampton at home, Sunderland at home, Swansea at home. That's not too bad. That's not too bad. So we've got, if we look at the first 20 fixtures, they play two top six sides, and they actually play four of the promoted sides. So that's not too bad. But the verdict for me is no, for the same reasons before. Villa can't defend. Watford are a promoted team. So there we go. Cool, let's move on. Norwich and Newcastle. Verdict is no. Norwich promoted. Newcastle, it's just a wait and see with them. I watched them in pre-season, and I know it's pre-season, but their defending is a shambles. This is a good fixture rotation, but, you know, as much as I love Krul, he just doesn't inspire me with confidence. He puts in performances now and then, but his numbers are terrible. So it's a no from me. They play in this rotation for the first 20 fixtures, they play one of the top six, and they play nine of the bottom half sides from last season. So it's not about fixture rotation, but that's a no from me. Newcastle, Norwich, no. That's because I don't like Newcastle defence, and Norwich is a promoted team. Awesome, so let's move on. So I hear you say, where are the West Brom rotations? Yeah, well, West Brom have got some funny rotations. I mean, naturally, they have a perfect home and away rotation with Aston Villa. So let's have a look at that one. So the verdict, yeah, I mean, I love West Brom defence, but it's a no for this rotation for West Brom and Villa. I mean, as I said before, Villa don't inspire me with confidence. And if you're creating this fixture for the long term, then there are some wonky game weeks post game week 12. Game week 12 itself, game week 13, 15 and 16 are murderous, suicide. If you look at game week 12, you've got Man U away, Man City at home. We go to game week 13, Arsenal at home for West Brom, Everton away for Aston Villa. Go to game week 15, Tottenham at home, Southampton away. Game week 16, Liverpool away, Arsenal at home. So that it's horror movie stuff. So, yeah, definitely don't go that rotation, even though geographically it's a perfect home and away fixture rotation, but fixtures are horrible at the start. Actually, the fixtures for those two were quite good early on. It's just that you've got three away games straight up. So, yeah, definitely no. Cool, so let's move on to West Brom and Bournemouth. I think this one's a little under the radar. The only thing that's bad here is the fact that Bournemouth are new to the league. Like, they are new to the league. Okay, so let's have a look at the first 10 game weeks for this one. We've got Aston Villa at home, Watford away, West Ham away, Leicester at home. I'll probably go Norwich away, Sunderland at home, Everton at home, Watford at home, Sunderland at home, Norwich away. So that's a pretty solid rotation. I really like that one. But once you get to 15, it gets wonky again. You've got West Brom playing Tottenham at home, which isn't that bad. And then Bournemouth playing Chelsea away. So you'll play the Tottenham at home, and I reckon they're probably more than capable of getting a clean sheet there, West Brom that is. But then 16, Liverpool away, Man U at home. So the only bad fixture, I think, in that rotation is game week 16. Apart from that, it's a pretty good rotation. If I was to spend the 9 million, I would probably go that one. That's probably my tip, is West Brom and Bournemouth, or the popular one of Norwich and Stoke, because I like the Stoke defence. So there's seven rotations for you to mull over. You'll probably find more. I was requested to create a pod on this a couple of hours ago, and I'm recording it now. There might be a few other rotations around for you to have a look at. If you do come up with some, send us a bit of a hoi hoi and I'll have a look at it. Cool, so just before I log off, I just wanted to rank the cheap defence just for interest's sake from one to nine. So let's have a look. We've got Villa, Bournemouth, Palace, Leicester, Newcastle, Norwich, Stoke, Watford, West Brom. I'm thinking I'm going to actually record a post for this exclusively, looking at the data from different sources. I'll probably look at data from a few of the things that I've spoken about, but just getting a feeling for these defenses. I'm just gonna rank them from one through to nine, or what, maybe one through to six, because the promoted defenses are still a bit of an unknown, because I haven't got any data on them. Actually, I do. I lie. I do. I'll just try and rank them without that data. Okay, so number one will be West Brom. Number one, primarily because they have Tony Pulis, and all of his teams are statistically anomalies, and they always just get clean sheets somehow. So West Brom, that's number one. Number two, Stoke, easy. They are a close second. And number three, I have, and a distant three, Crystal Palace. I think they are a borderline sleeper defence. They produced some decent numbers last season. And coming in at number four, Leicester. Yeah, I probably would have put Leicester at three before Pearson got the sack. Okay, number five. It leaves us with Watford, Norwich, Newcastle, Bournemouth, Aston Villa. Oh, goodness me. I'll probably go Norwich in fifth at a pinch. Probably Watford in sixth, just because they've signed a few of those deep-lying midfielders, even though it smells of QPR from a few seasons back. Newcastle can come in at seventh. No. Oh, goodness me. The teams that are left are Villa, Bournemouth and Newcastle. And Newcastle are just terrible. Their defence is terrible. I've just got a feeling that Newcastle are going to try and out... They're going to concede three goals, but they're going to score four. Because they've made some significant attacking signings. That leaves Bournemouth... Actually, I think they conceded the least goals last season from the two promoted teams. And Villa, they're pretty elusive. Who knows with them? They'll be same as Newcastle. They'll score. They'll concede five, but score three or something. Newcastle seventh, Aston Villa eighth. No, Bournemouth eighth, Aston Villa ninth. All right, so that leaves us with West Brom. First is West Brom. Second is Stoke. Third is Crystal Palace. Four is Leicester. Five is Norwich. Sixth is Watford. Seventh is Newcastle. Eighth is Bournemouth. Ninth is Aston Villa. So that's how I've ranked them. You might disagree, but whatever. All right, cool. So that is it for my discussion on keeper rotations. I hope you enjoyed that. See you later.